Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. It's beautiful out there, and we just have to remember we're not Newfoundland, and that's just a little bit of snow we have today. So we have to get used to it. It is our winter time. I have a few announcements, and the rest I will let you, you've probably already seen most of them here. David and Irene are away today, so I'm David Wilson. Next Sunday, January 26th, Tracy Hill will be conducting our worship service, as Reverend Toby will be on vacation in a lot warmer place than here. Out of the cold, please help Knox's team raise funds for Allison's Out of the Cold program. If you're interested in sponsoring our walkers, please go to the website for the coldest night of the year. It's coldest night of the year walk, www.cnoy.ca. It's all in here because you'll never remember that. And search Knox Knee Knockers. We had another one we wanted to say, but three other places wanted it too. So we are the Knee Knockers. And donate. If you prefer, you can also donate by signing the donation form at the back of the church and giving your cash or check to Lisa Nickel. I don't think it's back there yet, but she will have one out there. Friendship Circle meeting is Tuesday, January 21st at 2 p.m., and all ladies are welcome. Friendship Sunday. Next Sunday, January 26th, is Friendship Sunday, so plan to stay for lunch and birthday cake. And I think that's pretty well all the announcements that I do have. I will ask you to stand and pass the peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ to you too. Well, good morning and welcome to our service of worship this morning. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. It's good to be back for a week and to worship with you. Leaving the past behind in joyful obedience, we come to worship our eternal God. Rising out of the darkness in joyful hope, we come to worship our loving God. Following our Savior in joyful trust, we come to worship our awesome God. Come, let us worship our God together. We'll begin by singing our opening praises. Let us pray. God, our Creator and Redeemer, your faithfulness endures forever. We give you thanks for the new life you give us in Christ Jesus. You keep calling us to follow him so that we may bring your light and your hope to the world that you love. Through your generosity, we find and use our spiritual gifts. In you, we find the strength and courage to face every challenge. And we give you all our praise now and always. Holy God, in gratitude for your faithfulness and with honesty about who we are, we confess that we have been less than loving towards you and others. You sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost, and yet we often don't realize we have lost our way. We confess that we often choose the next new thing over your gift of new life. We seek love and approval according to the trends of our culture. We rely on our own strength and wit rather than your goodness. Forgive us. God of mercy, help us to remember that in your infinite grace, your promise of renewed love and purpose in Jesus Christ is offered to us as a gift. Help us to rejoice in your mercy, to know your love that seeks us out and offers us forgiveness this day and every day through Christ our Lord. We pray all this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father. We will sing our children's hymn together, Follow Me, the Master Said. invite the kids to come join me up here. There's a number of you this morning. So come on up. I need your help this morning, so be ready. So who likes surprises? Who likes surprises? You guys like surprises? There's certain surprises I like. So as you saw in the bulletin, I'm going to be away again next week. Now that was a surprise because I had a big birthday in December and my family surprised me with a trip to Cuba with my daughters and my niece. So I couldn't say no to that. So I'm sorry I'm not going to be here, but I couldn't say no. So that was a lovely surprise, right? And but you know, when I plan worship, I like things to go smoothly. We like things to go smoothly. You know, I plan everything out nicely. Well, let me tell you about a friend of mine in Wasaga Beach. So he does his children's story, and I may have told you this before. He does a mystery bag every children's story. So he gives the mystery bag to somebody in the congregation, and they put some kind of object in it, and then they bring it back for the next Sunday. And so during the children's story, he opens up the mystery bag and takes something out and tries to relate it somehow to God, the church, Jesus, the Bible, something. I don't actually know what he does. So anyway, we always say, you know, we have to be willing to be surprised by what God is doing in the world. And so today, I have a mystery bag here, and I don't know what's in it. So I asked Naomi, my daughter, to put something in the mystery bag. And I have to tell you, she was a little stressed out because she was like, well, what if I put something in that you just used? Or what if you can't figure it? I said, well, that's the whole thing about the mystery bag. So you guys are going to have to help me. We're going to take something out of this mystery bag, and we're going to see what it is, and we're going to see how maybe we can relate this to faith. Okay? You ready? Oh, there was one rule he had for his. You can't bring anything live. Though I have to tell you, somebody actually brought a kitten once. Yeah, I think it was an open-ended bag, but still, they did not follow that rule. Okay, so let's see what we got in here. A yo-yo. There's a yo-yo. All right, let's get thinking. How could we relate this to our faith somehow? Anybody? Got any ideas? What does a yo-yo do? What does a yo-yo do? Goes up and down. Okay, yeah. You can walk it, that's true, if you're skilled, with it, yeah. Okay, walk the dog, that's right. Oop, okay. It does take practice, yes. Ooh, good one. Okay, so it also always comes back, right? When you put it down, it always comes back again. Okay, so what do you think? Any of those things we've just said that we can somehow relate to our life of faith? Anybody? You guys aren't going to help me out here, are you? So a few things. The coming back, that's kind of like God is always present. God is always there with us. You know, even when we go far away with our yo-yo, it comes back and God is always there. The one that Marianne said about practice. When we're believers in Jesus, it's not just a given that we know everything, right? You guys are going down to church school to get practice and how to live out your faith, so reading the Bible and that kind of thing. Anybody got anything else? What about the up and down? Anybody? I don't know. Our lives go up and down. That's true. We have good times and bad times. That's right. And then you can relate that to Jesus always being there, the coming back always. Yeah. So what do you think? When we get to the end, it doesn't mean it's over. That's true. You can just swing that yo-yo back again. Excellent. See, you guys are good at this. So I'm not sure if I want to do this every week. Because you will notice I did write out a little prayer. So we'll just see if the prayer matches what I've said here. So thank you for a few people's help. You guys are going to have to think about this better. I may leave you in charge of the mystery bag, and you're going to have to pull something out and share with everybody. How's that sound? That would really put you on the spot. Well, let's say a prayer, and then you guys can head on downstairs to church school. And then you can let Naomi know that it all worked out. Perfect, perfect thing she put in the bag. Loving God, thank you for showing up when we least expect you. Help us to know your presence in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, thank you. You guys can head on downstairs. And we will sing our song of preparation as we prepare to hear the word of God.
Scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The Lamb of God. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song.
Thank you, Dan. Let us pray. Holy God, from age to age, you have blessed your people with wisdom. We turn to Scripture seeking learning and insight. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us so that we might hear your wisdom in the words read and proclaimed this day. Amen. So John was born to be number two, a bridesmaid, never a bride, the second fiddle, the deputy, not the sheriff, all those terms we use for someone who is not the one, who is not number one. John may have heard from the time he was a small child that his job was to prepare the way for someone greater and more important than himself. That's an interesting position to be in, don't you think? Knowing that one day all your followers will desert you for someone else, someone better than you. But it was inevitable, and it was part of God's plan, but I can't help but wonder how John really felt when Jesus finally arrived, the new kid on the block. Have you ever been the new kid on the block? You know what I mean, the outsider trying to be included in an already established group. I think that's the way that it might feel for some folks when they come to a new church, especially when there are people there who have called that church home for their entire lives. And I know that even though I've been serving this congregation for 6.5 years, and no matter how long I stay here, I will always be the new kid on the block. Jesus was the new kid on the block when John saw him by the Jordan River and recognized Jesus as the one who was to take his place. Now, as you may know, There are four Gospels in the beginning of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one declares the good news of Jesus Christ, and each one has a slightly different version of Jesus' life. Each one was written for a particular group of people in the first and second century with a particular focus. And we heard from the Gospel of John today, which doesn't even include a Christmas story or any kind of birth narrative. Instead, the Gospel of John begins with John the Baptist, who was really not a Baptist, but that's what we tend to call him. He did baptize his followers, but it was in preparation for who was to come after him, the one, Jesus the Messiah. Now, it's implied in John's Gospel that John had not met Jesus before, yet he recognized him because he had seen the Spirit of God descend and rest upon him. And so he told his own disciples, "The man, the one that we have been waiting for, is here." John the Baptizer could really be called John the Witness. A witness is someone who sees something or someone and who testifies or gives proof of what they've seen. John was the first to give witness to Jesus. He was the first to see who Jesus really was. John was witness to the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus. And perhaps in that moment, he knew that his life's work would be completed. He had prepared the way for the one. And the last thing to do was to give witness to what he saw, to who he saw. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John declared Jesus the Lamb of God twice in the Gospel. Scholars have debated about the meaning of that title for Jesus. It's likely it had to do with the future sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, but it's also likely that it had a connection to the past, to the celebration of Passover. Remember when Moses and the Hebrew people escaped death when they left Egypt and were led to freedom as they crossed the Red Sea? Lamb of God is a reference to the road to freedom. And Jesus represents freedom, freedom from sin. Now, sin in John's Gospel are not the many mistakes that we make that we need forgiveness for, but the ultimate sin of alienation from God, rejection of God, deliberate separation from God. When John declared Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the good news was that Jesus is our connection with God that can never be broken again. John's role was to give witness to the Lamb of God, to Jesus, and he fulfilled that role. John testified to Jesus' arrival, and his followers paid attention. Now, I've always been a bit curious about John's followers. Had they really believed that someone else was going to come along, as John had said? That takes a lot of faith. I wonder who they were really expecting. It's not like Jesus came with thunder and an army. They may have even thought, well, this Jesus guy doesn't seem much different than John, who we've been following. But John was clear with them that Jesus was the one, and so they immediately began to follow him. Jesus saw them following, and he asked them, "What are you looking for?" That is such a great open-ended question. What are you looking for? What are you after? How would you answer that question if Jesus asked you, "What are you looking for?" Would you say world peace, healing for illness, forgiveness of sin? Would you say mercy and justice, joy for all, a strong community of believers? Or would you ask the question, "Jesus, where are you staying?" Now, doesn't that seem like an unimportant and almost trivial question? The one has arrived, he's asked, what are you looking for? And the disciples say, Jesus, where are you staying? Now, as is common in the Bible, there's always more than meets the eye. For us to understand that question, where are you staying, we have to know that this was not the best translation of that sentence. The original Greek word for staying is menos, which means abide or to remain. What the disciples really wanted to know was where Jesus, the Lamb of God, abided, where Jesus remained, where Jesus would be present, because where Jesus was, God would be. When the disciples asked, where are you staying? Where is God present? Jesus said, come and see. And they did. When they abided with Jesus, the truth that God had come to the world to abide with them, to remain with them, to be present with them, became a reality. Jesus was the one who would be the way to freedom and new life. Jesus would be the one who would lead them to a better future, the one who represented deliverance from all that oppressed them. They saw Jesus as the anointed Messiah who would come to be with them, to be with the world. Come and see. That's the invitation from Jesus and the theme of all the good news of John's gospel. One commentator says, come and see. This answer from Jesus captures a primary message of John's gospel. If you want to know the Word made flesh, come and see Jesus. If you want to know what love is like, come and see Jesus. If you want to experience God's glory, to be filled with the bread that never perishes, to quench your thirst with living water, to be born again, to abide in love, to behold the light of the world, to experience the way and the truth and the life, to enter into life everlasting, if you want to know God, come and see Jesus. I think we sometimes forget that Jesus took the sin of separation from God away from the world. Sometimes it's hard for us to see and hear and believe that God is still present in our noisy and busy world. We might not even believe there is something worth coming and seeing. The world is a pretty tough place. Plagues and disasters and violence. All those things to seem to point to God's absence, not the presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet the good news is that through Jesus, we cannot ever be separated from God again. There's always, always hope for the world, glimpses of God working within it, something for us to come and see and know that God is present. Jesus points us to God's presence, God's constant presence. And when we accept that invitation to come and see, to abide with Jesus, we can invite others to be present with God, to know God. And that's what we are called to be and do as followers of Jesus. Seminaries training ministers to serve the church teach a lot of things: preaching, biblical studies, leading worship, theology, pastoral care. But the most important is that sometimes the role of a minister is just the simple ministry of presence, abiding with people as God abides with us. Gordon first met Tom when Tom was dying of cancer. Tom was a crusty and profane old man, a veteran and a recovering alcoholic, uninterested in God or religion. As a hospice chaplain, Gordon often met patients like Tom, and most of the time they wanted nothing to do with chaplains. Tom was different, though. He just wanted my presence and friendship, said Gordon. He certainly didn't want prayer or any kind of spiritual conversation, but he kept wanting me to return. Tom, like many hospice patients, just wanted someone to listen to him. His life was ending, and he wanted to relive his memories, to pass on his stories, and not be alone and forgotten. He and Gordon never talked about religion. Instead, Tom spent most of the time talking about cars and auto repair. Gordon knew little about these things, but he would listen to Tom for hours. At the end of each visit, Gordon would ask Tom if he wanted to pray together, and Tom always said no, but Gordon kept coming back. That was the way of being Christ to him, Gordon said. Take an interest in him. Value him as a person. Listen to his stories and just leave it at that. For Gordon, the best part about being a chaplain is being in the presence, being the presence of Christ to others, even if just for a little while. Many of the people he serves are like Tom, uninterested in Christ due to having another religion or no faith at all, and this is sometimes a challenge. Chaplains don't evangelize or convert people on their deathbeds. Instead, they help to meet their patients' spiritual needs. But even if they have different religions, Gordon believes he can share the presence of Christ with others. The ministry of presence is not limited to pastors or chaplains or ministers, but we are all called to share the presence of Christ, to invite people to come and see that God is present in our world today. Gordon prepares his heart for his ministry of presence every day with a prayer. And I want to close today with that prayer, which can be a prayer for us too. Let us pray. Lord, guide us in who we see today. With all those you send to us, let us be a channel of your blessing. Let us be as Christ to each person we meet. May we be at peace knowing you are there before we arrive. You are there while we are there, and you remain there after we leave. And through Jesus, we pray that at all times you will be present and abide with us. Amen. We will sing again together, Say Yes for the Carpenter.
Amen.
Please be seated. A warm welcome to you again on this Sunday morning. I'm so glad that you made it safely here and will make it safely back home again. If this is your first time worshiping with us, an extra special welcome to you and an invitation after the service to head downstairs for a time of fellowship and refreshments together. I just want to remind you, there was an email sent out earlier this week about the funeral for June Simpson, who is the mother-in-law of our custodian, Wendy Simpson, and I just ask that you lift that family up in prayer as we remember them in their grieving. We respond to God's call by sharing what we have been blessed with. Our offerings will now be received. Gracious God, we offer you our gifts with humble hearts. So bless each one and all the gifts of all your people throughout the church. Through the work of your Holy Spirit, surprise us with all that our offerings can accomplish in your blessed name. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we long to see signs of your presence in the world. Open our eyes to the ways you live and work among us. This week we join our hearts with Christians around the world to pray for peace and unity, for justice and mercy, for love and hope. We remember before you today, O God, people living face to face with war and violence, especially those places where ancient hatreds burn and reconciliation seems like a distant dream. Holy God, speak to us a word of peace and embrace us with your love. We remember before you today, people living face to face with economic uncertainty, those who have lost their jobs, their savings, their homes or businesses. We pray for people in all regions of Canada who face a variety of different challenges. Holy God, speak to us a word of reassurance and embrace us with your love. We remember before you today people living face to face with the discrimination and social prejudice, those who are bullied at work, at school, at home, and all those who are ashamed of who they are. Holy God, speak to us a word of dignity and embrace us with your love. We remember before you today people living face to face with consequences of actions beyond their control, especially those still reeling from the shock of losing loved ones on the flight from Iran. Holy God, speak to us a word of mercy and embrace us with your love. We remember before you today people living face to face with illness and suffering, those struggling with disability, those who know grief or fear. Holy God, speak to us a word of healing and embrace us with your love. There are many on this day known to us who are facing particular challenges and struggles, and in a moment of quiet reflection, we lift them up to you. Lord, hear our prayers. God of power and might, we remember before you today your whole creation. Teach us how to care for the world you love so that we may all have life together. Holy God, speak to us a word of hope and embrace us with your love. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Lord of All Power. Go forth today ready to come and see Jesus in the world, and may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.